This is a podcast from Patriots.com.
So we had a little walkthrough this morning. You know, they got the officials here, so we'll have you know, have them officiating the different aspects of practice this afternoon through Thursday, which is always helpful.
Patriots podcast live from Gillette Stadium in Foxborough.
You know, we're whatever the rule is, we play. Try to play by it. That's, so you have to talk to the officials about that, but. Whatever the rules are, then we try to coach to the way the rules are written.
Now, with your Patriots 2008 training camp updates, the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Tuesday, July 29th, Gillette Stadium. Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart here. Coming off an exciting morning workout.
Riveting.
Which was a tremendous walkthrough. All the players in attendance, or as near as I can tell, because during walkthroughs they wear gray t-shirts and blue shorts and they don't have those big jerseys on with numbers on them.
So when you see the guys who were on PUP who are out there, everyone's
I assume they're all there. But Teddy Bruschi was out there, Randy Moss, some of the veterans who have been, you know, out of action, at least yesterday, back on the field. All the PUP guys, I checked them off my roster except Ryan Wendell because I don't know what he looks like, but I'm assuming he was out there. Dave Thomas, who limped off yesterday, was out there showing no specific signs of any type of injury, but we might find that out in the afternoon session. As I said, the morning was a walkthrough, the first of two on Tuesday. The second practice scheduled to be a full pads practice, and I expect it to be a lively one.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the morning spent just some unique formations offensively. Obviously, more of a mental practice on both sides of the ball. And Teddy Bruschi, I talked to him a little bit, was talking about how, you know, these are important. You rest your legs a little bit. You get your mental game in order. And then you know later in the day that you are going to have a physical practice and can get back to the physical work. And speaking of Bruschi, he sort of addressed the media and touched on a number of interesting topics. And obviously the one that he's most closest to is the situation at linebacker, where you see some new faces, whether it be filling a void left by Roosevelt Colvin, Mike Vrabel's on PUP. And he talked a little bit about the guys that I think are of most interest to fans, first of which, the number 10 overall pick in the draft, Jerod Mayo. And
he's coming. You know, I think the biggest thing is just his attitude. He's willing to learn. He's willing to learn, and he's asking questions, and you can see the ability he has out here. I mean, he's running and hitting, and he's physical at times. And I think what I'm most impressed about is just his attitude and just his willingness to accept this system.
See, you can see Teddy knows the game plan here in New England. Lamont Jordan was a little slow on his sound bites the other day in the podcast. Teddy just boom, he reads the play and he is there before you even know it hit you. But that's good news. I like to hear him, you know, enjoying. Jerod Mayo, at times in the past wondered how Teddy dealt with newcomers. You know, I don't think he always fit in well with Monty Bizell, and maybe Teddy saw that he wasn't going to pan out, but he seems genuinely intrigued by Mayo.
Yeah, well, I think the good thing, I think, from Bruschi's point of view is all the stuff that Mayo said when he's talked to the media, you know, right after signing. Bruschi's talking about that stuff. And you know, Mayo talked about leaning on Teddy, leaning on Adalys Thomas, the veterans, and using them for guidance and wanting to suck up as much of that as he can. A lot of people say it, but evidently he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the best thing I got from that Bruschi clip right there.
Not only that, but also that he's showing and Bruschi is giving the scouting report that we sort of got on Mayo coming out of Tennessee, that he was eager to learn and, you know, watched a lot of film and a student of the game. It seems like he's already proven that to Teddy Bruschi, who I think is sort of a tough grader at times.
Yeah, that was good to hear about Mayo. I was a little surprised at how he responded so candidly about Tank Williams when he was asked about him, because, you know, typically players don't like to talk about other players and how they're performing.
Certainly here, where they're
certainly
coached
here,
to not
exactly
discuss other players.
Right, they'd rather just talk about themselves or say, you know, you got to ask Bill. But Bruschi, you know, he didn't.
Yeah, seem there's to no mind. Question. He talked about Tank Williams, and we talk about Mayo first. But Mayo and Victor Hobson are still with the second group.
Mm-hmm.
And as Teddy will point out when you hear the soundbite coming forward here, Tank Williams is still taking the reps with the first unit and has really, I think, proven something to Teddy Bruschi by taking on that challenge of learning a new position.
Good at times, and other times he has to learn things. I mean, he's never done it before. So he's learning. I think it's different for him taking on guards sometimes at that type of level. I mean, he's used to second level sort of situations where he has a little bit more space. But you know, surprisingly, he's accepted it all, and he's done a good job with it, doing the best he can out there. He's still with the first group, working hard, and you know, I think you know, it's different for me seeing him in there. You know, such a, you know, a 20 number in there and a smaller body, but you know, he's getting the job done.
I know it's still just a week into training camp, not even a week yet, and it's early for predictions, but I want to get both of you on the record right now. Does Tank Williams remain at inside linebacker, and does he legitimately have a shot to start the season as a starter?
I'm going to say that Mayo, if he keeps progressing the way he has so far, I think Mayo and Bruschi will be your opening day starters. And
So no,
I think Williams will revert back more to his safety role, but I think it's good that they get this in now just in case they ever have a problem with injuries later on, and they need to, you know, force him into that role again. At least he'll be more familiar with it at that.
Paul Perillo?
Yeah, I agree with Eric. I think you might still see him at linebacker, but not starting as a first down inside linebacker, playing the run, playing guards, and doing all that stuff. I think he's a sub package guy that could play linebacker. But Eric's right. Down the road, you know, if Mayo, you know, Mayo's a rookie, maybe he doesn't progress as well. Maybe he hits the wall. Maybe he gets banged up. For whatever reason, if that depth is disrupted at all, you have another guy with Victor Hobson and Teddy Bruschi who could fill in.
I agree.
I just don't see it.
I would honestly like this experiment to end sooner rather than later for the whole reason. I think you need Mayo's your number 10 pick. He's your inside linebacker of the future. He may have to take some lumps at some point, whether it be in practice, preseason, or even real game action. But I think you need to get him out there to get him learning the system so that sooner rather than later, he's comfortable, he's experienced, he's feeling good out there. And the one thing I'll say is I don't even think it's something at this point of saying, well, you know, he's not quite ready, so he'll slow up the practice. He'll hinder the guys around him. Mm-hmm. Because I can't imagine that Tank Williams isn't slowing the practice up a little bit or
anymore,
learning,
so
needing a little extra coaching, saying, oh, Teddy, there's two backs. What am I doing here? You know, so I think it's same. It's a new guy learning the system, except Mayo's actually an inside linebacker. He's not learning a new position.
The one thing that I was concerned with when I first started hearing and seeing Tank Williams lining up so often at inside linebacker, was how he was going to take on offensive linemen. And by judging by what Teddy said, it sounds like Teddy's a little concerned about that too, from what he's seen.
Right. It's one thing for us to question it, but when Bruschi, and you're right, he's not killing him or anything,
but
he was candidly kind of telling you he's wondering about the different roles for a guy that small, a 20s number, smaller guy, and I think that's been a little bit of a problem.
Because as Teddy said, he's taken on guards before as a safety, but he takes them on tosses and
second
screens
level,
where you can use the open field to your advantage as the better athlete. When your responsibility is the B-gap, you can't be running all over the field to avoid the guard. You got to be in the B-gap when you need to be in the B-gap. So you need to take him head-on. And, you know, the whole two-gapping style, banging heads
that
in there.
That counts linebackers.
And
you're right.
It's a lot different than doing it as a safety and taking on a guard in the open field. So, you know, I really do think, you know, in my opinion, sooner rather than later, I'd like to see Jerod Mayo running with the ones and see what he has to offer. And as I said, take his rookie lumps and get him out of the way in practice early in the year so that by late in the year he is comfortable and consistent out there, because I think that has to be your long-term future.
I think with another month of practice before the regular season starts, I think if he continues to make those strides, I think it's almost a guarantee that he'll be in the starting lineup.
Okay. Anything else stand out from that scintillating walkthrough?
Well, the officials were here today.
Indeed.
They didn't get to do much in the walkthrough, but they will probably later this afternoon.
Certainly later today. And they'll be here for 3 days working with the players. They met with the media today, discussed some rule changes. They will meet with the team, the players, the coaches to discuss rule changes, points of emphasis, and those things with them. And then they'll be at practices for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, where they will be in uniform. They'll have their flags. You'll see some down and distance stuff. They'll call. You know, a couple days ago we joked that looked like holding on James Sanders. They'll throw the flag and call pass interference or holding or whatever and let the players know in a game situation you would have been flagged there. So it's good for them, as the one of the officials said, they get to work out their kinks. And it's good for the players because you don't want to be getting away with it in training camp, make bad habits, and then you can't get away with it in the game. So that'll be fun to keep an eye on. Other than that, it's an evening session
pretty
that I expect will be banging, as they say. The pads will be on. and Randy Moss hopefully will be on the field, creating excitement for the offense, which struggled a little bit in the last full padded practice. I look for a bounce-back effort from Randy Moss and the offense, Tom Brady and company, Gillette Stadium, Tuesday night, open to the public, but as always, check Patriots.com.
Just in case.
Any last-minute schedule changes, weather, thunderstorms this time of year, just make sure you check it before you come down. You don't want to waste a trip if you're not going to be allowed in. Other than that, after this, we'll have another exciting practice, and then tomorrow we'll have another exciting podcast.
Pretty soon we're going to be having games.
And games are right around the corner, and we'll be previewing those as we go along. For Paul Perillo, Eric Scalvino, Andy Hart, peace out.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.
Peace out.